Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the update call for SPRL's acquisition of TGPEL Precision Engineering Limited, hosted by Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Kumar Srinivasan from Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. I hope you can all hear me well. A very good evening to everybody. On behalf of Shriram Pistons and Rings, I welcome you all to this investor call to update you on the proposed acquisition of TGPEL Precision Engineering Limited by Shriram Pistons and Rings through its wholly owned subsidiary. We had intimated the stock exchange with the necessary disclosures as well as a press release on the 10th of December. However, we felt that we should also give an update to you all via this call. So thank you all for attending the same. Let me begin. Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited, through its wholly owned subsidiary, SPR Engineers Limited, has entered into a definitive agreement for the acquisition of 100% shareholding in TGPEL Precision Engineering Limited, which is engaged in the manufacturing of high-precision injection molds and injection molded components. TGPEL Precision Engineering Limited, formerly known as Timex Group Precision Engineering Limited, is a leading player in the field of precision mold making and injection molded parts, particularly known for its diverse product offerings in the automotive industry. Additionally, TGPEL Precision Engineering Limited has a presence in the electrical, consumer goods and medical sectors, and its markets also extend beyond our domestic borders. Established in 2008, TGPEL Precision Engineering Limited boasts of a two state-of-art manufacturing facilities in Noida, Uttar Pradesh, that are outfitted with advanced capabilities for the design, development and production of high-tech precision molds, as well as in-house tooling and the manufacture of intricate injection molding parts. TGPEL Precision Engineering Limited primarily supplies injection molded parts, products and molds to OEMs and other automotive companies. Its diverse product range includes many precision automotive components like the speaker grills, the air vents, the flange covers, manifolds, bobbins, door handles, EV fuse box covers, CRB housings, clamps, connectors, and also many non-automotive components like the electrical terminal blocks, the MCB parts, the plastic gears, canister brackets, and small medical devices. Some of the clientele of TGPEL include Denso, Asahi India Glass Limited, Continental, Motherson, Havells, Dabur, Kohler, Gillette, Schaeffler, Nidec, and many more. TGPEL has shown a positive financial trajectory with revenues climbing to ₹1,183 million in financial year 24, up from ₹726 million in financial year 21, growing at a CAGR of 18% between financial year 21 to 24. Along with that, the EBITDA margins have been ranging from 23% to 26% during this period. It has not only reflected a strong growth in the top line, but also in the profitability. TGPEL Limited, with its healthy profitability metrics, has demonstrated strong capabilities and operational efficiencies on a day-to-day basis. The acquisition of TGPEL is extremely strategic to us, not only from a point of view of diversification into non-ICE components, but also into areas beyond automotive, with lightweighting as a concept across various industries. TGPEL's robust financials are expected to contribute significantly to the overall consolidated financial strength of Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited. Let me quickly talk you through the about the transaction. SPR Engineers Limited will acquire a 100% shareholding in TGPEL at an enterprise value of ₹2,200 million on a debt-free, cash-free basis, with adjustments of debt and debt-like items to be considered as on the date of the closing. The transaction is expected to be completed by 31st of December 2024, subject to satisfactory completion of all the condition precedent. SPR Engineers Limited will acquire 30% shares from Asahi India Glass Limited, listed company, 30% from Padmini V&A Mechatronics Limited, and 40% from three other private investors. There are totally five investors in this company, and SPR Engineers will acquire 100% of the shares from these five investors at the above enterprise value. The proposed acquisition is part of Shriram Pistons and Rings Limited's overall long-term strategy to invest, diversify, and grow its product portfolio in the areas agnostic to ICE powertrain, thereby cementing its leadership position in the automotive sector. This deal will mark one more step towards Shriram Pistons & Rings' focus to consolidate and strengthen its position into the manufacturing of high-precision injection molded components. Leveraging TGPEL's cutting-edge mold development capabilities and its infrastructure for producing high-precision injection molded parts, we are well-positioned to meet the needs of both local and international clients seeking meticulously crafted molded components for automotive and other industrial applications, including medical. Integrating Shriram Pistons & Rings' robust manufacturing engineering prowess with its extensive customer network presents numerous opportunities for synergies. This acquisition is poised to reinforce Shriram Pistons & Rings Limited's footprint in the specialized area of high-precision plastic injection molded area, as well as the overall weight reduction strategy, along with its previous acquisition of SPR Takahata. This acquisition aligns with the Shriram Pistons & Rings Limited's strategic emphasis on broadening its footprint in the non-ICE product segment and thereby creating long-term value for its stakeholders by being accretive to our EPS right from the first day. So I'm sure you will find this quite interesting, and I now request the moderator to open the floor for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Akshay Sam from Sam Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Sam, you are audible. I can hear you well.
So, firstly, congrats on the acquisition. It's heartening to see very high margins of TGPL. I had a few questions. Can you just tell us about what are the synergies you will have with another acquisition you did, Takahata, last year? And also, since we've seen very high margins for this company in particular, I wanted to, in particular, know why are margins for Takahata very low, despite them being around for 15 years already in India? Is it more towards, is it because of low capacity utilization, or there are some other factors, or eventually the margins will eventually catch up with TGPL? That's my first question.
Yeah. So, Sam, let me answer the first question, first part of the question. First and foremost, as far as the synergies are concerned, we see a lot of synergies in the sense that, we bring the depth in terms of the reach with all the customers, all the OE customers as well as the tier ones. And because of that reach, we are in a better position to really help TGPL also, and as far as also the Takahata team, get more business. You know, we have already started doing that in Takata. And so we see that, basically with the product range that presently that TGPL is able to cater to the industry and as well as Takata, you will find that as far as the precision injection molded components are there, most of the OEMs, they, since it requires for a very heavy amount of, molding, cost to be put on the molded parts, we find that most of the customers normally have only one supplier for one part. So in terms of the product overlap, there's almost zero overlap. That's a good part between TGPL and between Takata. Now, as far as the customer overlap is concerned, there are some customer overlaps, but that's not too much. And we really found this acquisition leading us to a very good kind of a situation, with regards to finding the synergies as well as seeing this whole acquisition being very complementary in terms of its overall positioning, both on the top line as well as the bottom line. So having said that, I would say that with regards to the margins, I would like to clarify that first and foremost, the margins of Takata are not very low. You might have seen in the last two quarters, we have already shown the margins in our consolidated statements, where the margins are very close to very high. It's high double digit, high in the high 20s, and we are very hopeful that the margins of Takata and margins of TGPEL will really help us to get a fantastic be a very accretive EBITDA business for SPRL on the whole.
Sure, sir. So my second question is regarding further acquisitions, if you have planned in the pipeline. Obviously, you've said in the past that all of you are very active and looking out like a hawk for more potential investments. So, can I know, is the strategy of the company is to like get into more use case applications since automotive industry is generally very cyclical? For example, if I may name a peer of yours, similar to what Tube Investments is doing, because there's so much potential for India's manufacturing sector in general. So looking at just say automotive with a narrow lens may not be the best strategy for future if we want to build more like an industrial hub in India. So in terms of just diversifying your use case applications, what is the strategy of management so that we are not just looked from the lens of automotive in general and more look like an industrial company? Thanks.
Yeah. So first and foremost, let me clarify. While I agree that the automotive industry is fairly cyclical, but at the same time, with the penetration of newer models and newer areas, especially the EVs, I think overall, if the company really does strategic investment, it will continue to have a continuous growth path. So I don't see any reason why that should not be achieved. It's a question of how we are able to, leverage our strengths in the areas of automotive. That's point number one. Point number two is, as far as these two acquisitions are concerned, both Takata and this, you might have seen that they have exposures in the market as far as market is concerned to areas beyond automotive. And on an average, both the companies are doing quite well in industrial sectors as well as medical sectors and other areas. So as a result, we feel that, our exposure into those areas are slowly improving and increasing. But, it's coming more from the acquisition, and I don't think we have a very clear, let me put it this way, a very strategic intent to go into areas other than automotive. Our focus, our strengths are in the automotive, and we'll continue to be in the automotive as a dominant player. But at the same time, we will also explore other areas in industrial as well as medical and other areas so that we slowly de-risk the overall business model. We have already done that with now with both the companies put together. We'll have a sizable turnover as far as the plastic injection molded components are concerned, and we'll have both on the top line and bottom line a fairly good presence from the plastic side. So fundamentally, if you really understand, the overall strategy of the company is more to ensure that we are able to keep the position, the lead and the position that we have in automotive, and then leverage it to be able to focus into other areas of automotive. That also very niche area. We just don't want to just put money into very normal items which will not give us the required margins, because our focus has always been on margins, and we are trying to see that whatever we do is EBITDA accretive to us. So that is the way that we are focusing. And going forward, to answer your first part of the second question, whether we are looking for other acquisitions, yes, you're right. Though we are looking like a hawk, but we are looking at like a hawk in a very, let me put it this way, in a very close zone, to ensure that we zero in on the right companies, which will be able to give us the both the top line and the bottom line, rather than just throwing money into very, let me put it this way, irresponsible acquisitions.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Gaurav Paul from Techcellence Financial Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Hi, Gaurav. Yeah.
Good afternoon, sir. So my first question is a bit technical. So what is the sort of the lead time or the product development cycle for a precision mold? Could you kind of explain me? And the second part is that last call you had mentioned that the TAM for Takahata is around, I think, 3,000 to 4,000 crore in domestic market. So with the addition of TGPL, how big will this, I mean, how big the market becomes, and where do you see this entire plastic business in, say, 3 to 5 years of time?
Let me answer the second question first, so that it is makes it easier for you to understand. The TAM, the total addressable market for Takahata from a precision injection molded parts standpoint, what I stated at that point in time was more limited to all the current scale of the industry as far as the automotive is concerned. Now, if you really scale it up to areas beyond automotive, like the, let's say the medical industry and the industrial components, there again, the precision component industry is quite big. And then the TAM continuously keeps on increasing. Our focus between the two companies put together would always remain to have at least anywhere between 20 to 30% of the market being addressed beyond automotive, and at least 70% of the market being addressed by automotive, to retain our margins as well as retain our lead positions that we have with the synergies that we can bring on the table. So strategically, it will always be a combination of all this factors to enable us to not only maintain our positions but also grow the business across both the companies. Now, both the companies put together will have a sizable market share as we go along, with this. And precision injection molded parts always requires a lot of technology, and we have to keep upgrading our technologies also continuously. And that's where our partner Takahata has really, been able to do that across various segments of the industry. So we are very confident that our overall strategy is very well falling into place, and it will really help us to scale this business quite heavily.
Understood. So I generally wanted to understand, say, for example, an OEM comes with an RFI or an RFQ for a precision mold, not an OEM, sorry, a tier 1 or a tier 2. How much time does it take to...
Yeah, so I'm coming to the first part of your question, especially the lead time required for any new development. Now, this again depends on size to size. If you go onto the TGPL's website, you'll see all kinds of components that they make. They make right from, small connectors right up to big fuse boxes and, various precision components. So sometimes, you know, the lead time could be as low as, you know, anywhere between 3 months, you know, between 8 to 12 weeks, or in some cases even as high as 8 months, you know, if ever it requires huge amount of validation. Now, for many of the automotive components, we have to also do a lot of validation. But, you know, there are components which can go only through the PPAP route, and then that doesn't really require a very huge validation. So we have multiple combinations which work on this side, and it's very difficult to pinpoint, say, that takes minimum this time. Rather, it is better to say that, you know, the growth that you see on a yearly basis is a clear indicator in terms of how they are able to convert their new inquiries into business. On an average, they have been, you know, achieving a CAGR of around 18%. And that's a very fairly good growth that we see on a year-to-year basis. And that's been one of the major reasons why we said that we should invest in this company.
Understood, sir. I have another question on the CV.
On the
aftermarket side.
Okay. What is that? Can you repeat your question, Gaurav?
I had a question on the aftermarket side. Will this call be appropriate for that question, or maybe I'll take up in the earnings call?
No. It is. See, the aftermarket, as far as this particular product is concerned, is certainly there. But most of this aftermarket gets, you know, serviced by the OEMs directly, because this being a precision component goes inside most of the, you know, assemblies, and the assemblies either are addressed by the tier ones or by the OEMs. So we don't, you know, for these parts, that is the plastic injection molded parts and the precision plastic injection, we don't expect to have a separate line of aftermarket. Because we have to service it through the tier ones. But at the same time, at any given point in time, if we find that there is a good possibility for us to enter the market with the excellent network of aftermarket that we have across the country, I think it is not going to be a very tough task.
Thank you for the answer.
Thanks a lot, Gaurav. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vikram Rawat from East Lane Pack Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening.
Hi Vikram.
Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah. Sir, my question is regarding given these two acquisitions, how should we look for the scaling up of this plastic injection molding business? And second is on the TPDL side, what kind of capacity utilization level are we running at, and current capacity, basically how much potential revenue can we reach from the existing asset base, and is there any plan for the scaling up, like a capex we are doing in the Takahata? Is there any further capex plan for the this business? Thank you.
Yeah. Good question, Vikram, and you know, let me answer this. You know, this market, as far as precision injection molded parts are concerned, is a growing market. Now, the reason why it's a very growing market is because people have realized that you can leverage a lot of possibilities by using plastic injection molded parts as compared to a mechanical part or a steel part, and thereby get almost the same strength and get the output that is required. You know, so that's why people have started applicating this into number of areas in the vehicle also, because that helps them in the overall lightweighting concept that they have for the vehicle. As a result, you'll see that these companies have been growing at this rate. You know, 18% CAGR is a very good growth rate that they have been able to achieve over the last 5 years. Then there is no reason why we should not look at, you know, applying the same kind of growth rates in the future years. So, and both the companies together should be able to give us that kind of business growth that we are looking for. And going from a capacity utilization standpoint, you know, while we don't normally give these numbers directly, but I can only say that, you know, both the companies have a fairly, you know, the injection molding, if you see as a business, you know, normally we put the machines with a certain molding capacity, let's say a 350 ton machine if we put, and normally the capacity is quite good and it requires a good amount of orders to really fill up that capacity. And we have, between the two companies put together, we have, I think, over 250 to 300 machines. And as a result, we have fantastic flexibility that we can bring in terms of our capacity, and also be able to, work out strategies with regards to high volume lines and low volume lines, and be able to mix and match a lot of possibilities for the end markets. So as a result, I feel that there are a lot of possibilities that then comes along this way, because we have a fairly good mix of machines available, thereby catering to bigger segments of the market.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mitul Shah from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, congratulations and thank you for the opportunity. Sir,
yeah,
two questions. In this acquisition, out of overall revenue, how much would be roughly from the molds and how much would be from the moldings? And would that be entirely injection molding, or it molds include the injection mold as well as blow mold and all?
Okay. Yeah, so Mitul, thanks for the question. You know, first and foremost, as far as precision injection molding, you know, I keep saying this, that our injection molding, the area that we are trying to attack is only precision injection molding, because that's where we are able to get the technology. We need a lot of technology with regards to vacuuming, with regards to insert molding, with regards to temperature stability, and a lot of other things, because that way then we can give very thin sections and be able to reduce the weight of the components, you know, and that is fundamentally the technology that goes behind this. And in this, there is absolutely no blow molding, because blow molding and all are very low technology items and very beaten up on costs, on prices. Whereas these, where there are technologies involved, it's a very high precision component, and there is a huge amount of technology as well as a huge amount of efforts that needs to be put up to manufacture the molds. So in almost all the cases, when we make the molds, while the molds are owned by the tier ones or the OEMs, the molds are made for the respective part that we get awarded from the business. So almost in 90% of the cases, in very rare cases, the customer gives the mold and we have to give the molded parts. In 90% of the cases, we have to make our own molds for the parts that we get awarded, you know, in terms of the business. And we have to design the molds to suit our, to suit the technology that is required to achieve the end result. The end results are the ones which I said, you know, in terms of low thickness, 1 mm, 0.5 mm thickness and all that, to maintain stability. So all this, so most of the molds that you'll see is has to be manufactured for the products that we make. There are also a stream of business that we do, where in both the companies, Sakata as well as this, where we do the molds for specific to customer application. We give it to the customer, and customer does the molding himself. So that those cases are also there. So so it's a good mix and match. But overall, as a percentage of the business, the mold business will be fairly, let me put it this way, anywhere ranging between 15% to 20%.
So about 80% is moldings, right?
Molded parts,
correct.
But even molds that we make may be for the molded parts, for the same molded parts, but retained by us, but manufactured for the customer.
Okay. And just follow up on this, in terms of margin, generally mold making margins are much higher than the molding, right? So what would be a difference roughly in terms of the percentage?
No, we don't normally categorize that way, because when we make the molds for the parts that we make, so we focus on the part cost, you know, so, and the mold is owned by the customer, so it's not that on the margins on the molds is bigger than the margins on the this thing. So it's a mix and match kind of a situation.
Lastly, on again, molds, how much would be the captive consumed molds out of that 20% revenue? How much is the third party for which molds are manufactured?
That again varies from year to year. It will vary. So you can't fix it up to a certain number because it depends on the kind of business that we get. And we are open to doing. We don't do a normal run-of-the-mill kind of a mold because there are many inquiries for that, but we don't do all that because our capacities are limited and we want to focus on very specific areas where we can bring technology. And so that way, we can't exactly pinpoint and say that this will remain like this in the future also. So I don't think that number will make any much relevance.
Okay. Sir, on the utilization, how much is and how much it can go up with minimal CapEx on debottlenecking?
I think I answered the previous question. So we expect we have, as I said, the different grades of machines have different capacity levels and different utilization. So we normally categorize it by the availability of the kind of machines, the tonnage of the machines that is there. And we categorize it across 80 to 100 tons, 100 to 150 tons, 150 to 200 tons, 200 to 300 tons, and 300 tons and above. This is how the whole categorization happens in the precision injection molded parts. There are, of course, many other plastic parts where it is even above 300 tons, 350 tons. So it varies from tonnage to tonnage. But we have a fairly good capacity available. Now, let me clarify that. Between the two companies put together, where we can mix and match and get efficiencies out by the volumes, so we are able to then easily have a fantastically good capacity available.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the answer and all the best.
Thank you very much, Mithunji.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on the acquisition, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Mumuksh.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just, sir, firstly, I mean, in terms of the if you can help us how the Timex Group was, I mean, just in the landscape of this thing, what are the capabilities they have? And today, we have the two partners, different Timex and the Takata. So how the technology will be then shaped up for the future, sir? I mean, which it would be different for different businesses or there would be also a combined effort? Firstly on this, sir, and.
Yeah. Let me answer this question first because it's a very good question, a very important question. First and foremost, TGPEL does not have any partners today. It was actually formed as a Timex Group. Timex was a U.S.-based company. And you might be knowing that Timex initially formed a company with the Tata's collaboration. And this was founded in 1992, as you know. And Timex used to primarily focus on making the molds and plastic injection molding for watches. But that's how it started. And then subsequently, it was carved out as a Timex Group Precision Engineering Limited in 2008 when the relationship between Timex and Tata's broke and Timex went off. And Timex, the injection molded parts still remain in the country as a standalone company. And it became Timex Group Precision Engineering Limited. And this company actually started with a new facility in 2009 in Noida. And they had roughly one plant. I think it was close to 45,000 sq ft that they had constructed at that point in time. But then somewhere in 2014 or end of 2014, they were acquired. In 2019, they were acquired by five different shareholders from different companies. And this included Asahi India and then Padmini V&A. They both had 30%. Then there was private investors, three of them from Hong Kong, all having 20-10-10, that kind of a shareholding. So it was a very mixed kind of a shareholding, more like a financial investor. And none of them were able to consolidate the financials of this company. And it was standing as a standalone company. And now with our acquisition, we find that they also find that it makes a lot of sense. We are able to then give it more strategic direction, more directions in terms of growth. And, you know, there is then a clear focus with regards to how we want to grow this lightweighting segment of ours in terms of the plastic injection molding. So that is how this whole acquisition made sense, and I think it is a very apt acquisition with regards to our overall strategy.
And now, sir, it will be played through both of the partners. I mean, both of the companies will be separately. It will be played out in the market.
No, so when they don't have any, you know, partners from outside, it is only Takahata as a partner whom we have under the Takahata wing, which will continue. And between us and Takahata, we have a clear understanding of how we'll run this whole overall plastics business.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And sir, just on the, how is the ROC profile, if you can help us understand for this business as of now? And I mean, is there any other the incrementally margin triggers you see that can support better margins for this this acquisition, sir?
See, the past figures are all available on the ROC side, you know, the ROC sites. So you will be able to get the financials down, and on an average, their return on capital so far has been in the region of around 24%, you know, so 23% EBITDA is what we have been maintaining. So their return on capital, etc., is all available for the previous year's figures. So I think that will be able, that you will be able to get from there.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much for this opportunity, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Gaurav Paul from TechSellence Financial Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Hello.
Sir, I just wanted to understand this tooling that you do for mold. It's usually paid upfront by the customer, isn't it? Or
have both the models. There are some models where it's paid upfront. There are some models where we apportion it from the cost of the part.
Okay. And my second question is for medical devices. You mentioned that there are some medical devices under TGPEL. So are there any components which have gone through FDA approval or something like that? Any idea or anything?
Yeah, they are already supplying. They are already supplying to tier ones directly.
Tier ones, okay. The second question was, in the last call you said that in export business you are seeing green shoots coming up and more businesses coming for your base business, not the plastic, but for pistons from Europe and America. So, I mean, overall this quarter, are you still seeing that or, I mean, it's still subdued and...
No, as I said, I think I mentioned it in the last call that, you know, our exports business has got affected because of the war situation at both, you know, in the Middle East as well as in Ukraine. So, the whole of Europe is under a lot of slowdown. The whole of US is under slowdown. So the primary markets for us are in the Middle East and Europe. And naturally, the markets are, the exports markets are affected. But notwithstanding that, we have all continued to grow and will continue to grow, primarily because of newer areas that we are attacking in terms of new business and also in terms of ensuring that we are able to cater to some of the urgent requirements that some of the companies have abroad, which is happening primarily because of some of the big players vacating capacities. So we are able to cater to that because with our clear strategy of growing in all the areas that we are invested in, we want to ensure that we are able to cater to the end markets in a manner which is going to be very seamless for the customers. So that way we are able to actually grow the business.
Sir, also in the CV and tractor overall, I mean the aftermarket segment. So I understood that there are around 10 crores of CVs in Indian domestic market on road. So typically, what is the overall cycle of that? I mean, say in life of say 10 to 15 years, how many times do they go for piston replacement?
I think I explained this in the last call. Normally, in the life cycle of CV industry, there are normally anywhere between 5 to 6 times that it undergoes overall engine overhauls, you know, and that is, it's not a sacrosanct figure because it's very, very, you know, the whole industry works in a very uncoordinated manner. There's no coordinated, you know, figures available. Thereby, you can, you know, conclude and say that this is how it will move. But in an approximate manner, anywhere between 5 to 6 times in a CV, that it undergoes major overhauls.
Understood, sir. And my last question, I wanted to understand regarding the ethanol-based blending. So I understand that in Brazil, you supply for components where the blending is around 60 to 80%. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Even 100%. You know, see what happens.
Okay.
Ethanol blending, you know, happens from 10% to 100%. So in Brazil, they have reached, not today, they have reached almost close to 5-6 years back, 100% blended ethanol usage, and they have realized that with 100% usage, they have the wear and tear on the engine components are very, very high. As a result of which, it has now been blended down, and they, on an average, use between 80 to 85% as the standard ethanol blending. Now, with 80 to 85% blending, you know what happens is you still, there is a big drop in the power density, as a result of which you have to go for higher, you know, ratios and other things. And as a and you have to completely redesign the product because the carbon soot being on the higher side. You have to redesign the product to be able to maintain all the scavenging that is required on the engine blocks. And that requires a huge amount of, you know, technology with regards to the coating of the rings, coating of the pistons and other things. So that is the technology that we have developed, and we have we are leading the you know the entire race by giving product components which goes into CNG and ethanol applications in a very, very big way, both in India as well as in abroad.
Yeah. So just to give a sense, so say for example we have a BS6 piston, and compared to that, say you have Freedom 125 piston of similar vehicles, so the machining content for the Freedom 125 or a CNG based or an ethanol based ones, would it be more high, like the top crown surfaces and all?
Yeah. Everything, you know, not only the machining plus coating, everything changes completely.
Okay. That's very clear. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Once again, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Akshay Sam from Sam Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. Can you throw some light on the competitive landscape and the precision plastic molding segment in India? Because I've seen a lot of competitors abroad who are market leaders like OKE. They do very niche stuff such as plastic and metal fusion molding as well, which translates to a lot of...
That is one of the major areas that we do, where there is a, we call it as insert molding, and it's a metal in, metal insertion molding that we do and do it companies. Well, the competitor for Takata was Timex. Competitor for Timex was Takata. So we do have other competitors, but then we, you know, I think we have a good position now.
Are we the biggest in India, sir?
No, I don't think so. You know, from the landscape of the market that is available, I think you can easily make out we cater to around 15% of the market now, and we want to grow to a much bigger segment. Aim is to become the bigger, biggest this thing. You know, what it required was a group which will actually bring a lot of synergies with regards to the market and the front-end situation that we have with so many tier ones, that we are able to consolidate all that and bring it all together. And that is where we see the synergies coming from SPRL. So SPRL will play that part with regards to getting those synergies and growing the business for both these companies.
So we have 15% market share at the moment, and you think the market leader has what, around say 20%? Is that fair?
No, I'm not saying that. You know, there are very distributed kind of, you know, suppliers. As a result, you know, there is no one one guy owning more than double-digit figures in terms of the market share, because this happens when you have a very niche market, the customers cannot invest in multiple suppliers for the molds, because otherwise the overall cost goes up. So they tend to you know, develop their own partners in small segments, and they are normally you know, investing in they want the partner companies to then invest in the mold. So that is how it happens. So most of these companies you will not find any product overlaps, but you will normally have you know, overall group overlap happening because of it being a plastic injection molded part.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Kumar Srinivasan for closing comments.
I think these were all great questions today, and I think we have been able to answer it to the best of our abilities. In case anybody has any further questions, please do reach out to us anytime. You have the numbers available of Mr. Pankaj Gupta, who is our you know, company secretary and legal counsel. He will ensure that he will then reach out to the right person to get the answers and be able to give the answers back to you. We extend our you know, gratitude to all the participants for attending today's investor call. Your participation has made this discussion extremely engaging. We remain dedicated to our commitment to our strategic business objectives, and we will continue to strive for sustained positive outcomes. For any further questions or any information that you may have, please reach out to our investor relation team at EY, Ernst & Young. And on behalf of the company, again, thank you once again and appreciate your time and involvement in these discussions. Thanks a lot. Take care and goodbye. And I do take this opportunity to wish you all a very, very happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Shriram Pistons and Rink Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thanks, everybody.